I want to echo all the welcomes this morning. We have many guests, and we want you to know you're our honored guests and our regular members that are here. And then, of course, in our thoughts, those who are not able to be here for reasons of illness or age. And we want to, of course, are thankful that they're probably thinking of us in their thoughts and prayers. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about a very simple lesson. As we read in the book of Job, if you look back there, and I'd like you to look again at Job chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 was read in your hearing this morning. And I want to look at the latter part of Job chapter 3. And today, I want to tell you about a funeral that I just recently attended. This funeral was for an old-time preacher, and his name was Ed Holcomb. And Ed Holcomb was a great man. But what I want you to think about with me today is what made Ed great. Ed was a good husband, the obituary said, but he had treated his wife the way a husband should scripturally, but is that what made Ed a great man? No. Ed had many children and grandchildren, and he loved them and nurtured them and taught them along the way. Did that make Ed Holcomb a great man? No. Ed served in the United States Air Force. He served and helped to protect our rights in this country, our freedoms. Did that make Ed Holcomb a great man? No. Ed Holcomb played the Hawaiian steel guitar. And he played it professionally. He was in a professional band for years. That's a great accomplishment. But did that make Ed a great man? No. Ed worked at B.F. Goodrich. He worked 23 years without fail. Great accomplishment. But that didn't make Ed a great man. All these things that Ed had, his true calling was his work for the Lord. As a gospel preacher, he served churches in the Ohio area. He served at Southeast Congregation. He served at the Mogador Congregation, North Ridgeville, Silver Park. Did that make Ed a great man? No. The fact is that Ed left a plethora of memories and lessons and teachings behind that will influence people positively for years after his passing. But is that what made Ed a great man? And the answer is no. What made Ed a great man? This is a copy of Ed's, one page out of Ed's Bible. And if you can see that, what you might notice is that there's so many notes on the page that you can't read the scriptures. Ed was known as a walking Bible. That was, people called him that. He knew the scripture so well that all he needed was his notes to direct his thoughts because he could quote the scripture. What made Ed a great man was his unyielding faith and trust and love for the Word of God. What made Ed great was that he obeyed the gospel of Christ. He fought the good fight. He put all his trust in the Lord God Almighty. He ran the race and finished the race in victory. The end result, he has victory in death. And it is celebrated. It was celebrated here, and it's celebrated in heaven. Yes, many men do great things. Many men have done wonderful and amazing things in this world, but what makes a man great is his faith in God, in God's Word, and his obedience to that. Many people have passed over the years. Men like Jody Copeland, Billy James, Jesse Flowers, Leo Bowles was another man, and Foy E. Wallace and so on. Many people have passed. But what made them great was their faith. Long before any of these men that we're talking about existed, there were many great men. many great men and women in the Bible. And we want to consider a few examples with you today as we ask the question, what makes us great? What makes you great? And so today we want to start in the book of Job, as you've already heard in your lesson this morning. The latter part of the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 3 says, so that this man was the greatest of all people in the East. And we ask questions today about Job. What is it that really made Job great? In that text, we read that Job has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Is that what made him great? In that text, we read that Job was great because he had so many possessions. But is that really what made Job great? Was it his health that he had that made him great? Well, let's see. As we ask what really made Job great and we look at the text, in verse 1 it tells us he was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. His faith in God, his desire to do the will of God is what made Job so great. In Job chapter 1 and in verse 20 through 22, look at what it says there as we read about him. Job 1:20 through 20. It says, Job, after having lost all his children, all his possessions, after losing his barns and buildings, this is what made Job great. In verse 20, it says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. You see that? He fell to the ground and worshiped. After he lost everything, he fell to the ground and worshiped, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. His faith and his love, admiration, and his desire to honor God is what makes Job so great. In Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, it wasn't his health that made him so great, was it? As we look at this, chapter 2, 7 through 10, so then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and he took for himself a potsherd with which he to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Verse 9, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as of the foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He put God ahead of everything. How many of us could be great like that? To lose family, to lose possessions, to lose your health and still consider God great. I'll tell you, Job had faith. And you know where that led Job? If you go over to Job chapter 42, Job chapter 42 tells us that Job did something amazing. And I'll tell you what, if you study the book of Job and you read about Job's friends, his friends tested his greatness, didn't they? Well, basically what they told Job is, you're a sinner, you're suffering, whatever sin you're doing, you need to stop. All they did was talk down to Job. But in Job 42, 10 through 16, after all these things happened, what did Job do? It tells us, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. That is a great thing. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintance before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a gold ring. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 male donkeys. He also had 7 sons, 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemiah, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hopik. And all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. You see, God restored Job because Job repented. Now listen, Job proved his faithfulness. He held to his integrity, but in verse 17 of chapter 1, of the chapter here, it tells us, so Job died in chapter 42. Job died. He died. And so what we get from this is that Job had great faith, and that's what made him great, but Job died. Let's go to another one here, and let's talk about Noah. Noah, if you turn to Genesis chapter 6, in verses 5 through 7, Noah was a great man. But what is it that made Noah so great? You know, in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6 will tell us that the Lord saw the wickedness of man, the wickedness of the earth. It was great. It was everywhere. The intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God was sorry that he had made man. In verse 7, he tells us that the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Noah was a man. But as we understand this story of Noah, we understand that God saved Noah and the 8 souls that went into that ark. What is it that made Noah so great? The answer is in verse 22. Thus Noah did. You see that? Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. Faith. That's what made Noah so great in the eyes of God. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 29 we read, so all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. All the days of Noah, 950 years and he died. And the same thing with Noah. Noah lived a life of faith and obedience to God and Noah died. What about Abraham? Abraham. You know, we always think of Abraham and his faith. You associate faith with Abraham. Abraham was great because God made him a father of all nations? No. That's not what made him great. Was he great because the glory of God appeared to Abraham, our father? No. That is not what made him great. Was it because he was called the friend of God? That is not what made him great. What made Abraham great was the same thing that made Noah great, the same thing that made Job great, the same thing that makes any man great. What made him great was that by faith, Abraham obeyed God. He was called to leave everything that he knew, everything that was familiar, and he was told to go out into a land that you don't know anything about, a land you know not. And by faith, Abraham packed everything up, family, livestock, everything he had, and he left. That's what makes a person great, is that you obey God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed God. Genesis 25 and 8, then Abraham breathed his last and died a good old age. Abraham was faithful. And Abraham died just like Noah died. Another one. What about Moses? Moses was great Was he great because he was born Hebrew? Was he great because he was a beautiful child when he was born? Was he great because he killed an Egyptian protecting a Hebrew brother? Was Moses great because God said to Moses, come now therefore and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt. Was he that great because he was a kind of a savior to Israel? Was it because he chose to suffer affliction rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin? Was that what made him great? Is that what made him great? Was it because he wrote the first five books of the Bible? Is that what we think about Moses? He wrote the first five books and so that makes him great? Let me tell you, none of these things made Moses great. What made Moses great is what we read in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24 and listen, by faith what? Moses. You see that? When he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover, Hebrews 11:28. Moses, at the age of 120, he died. And then Moses also lived a life of faith. And that's what made Moses great. Think about King David. What made King David so great? We ask the question, was David so great because he was highly accomplished musician and a songwriter? Because he wrote many psalms? Look in the book of Psalm chapter 16 and listen to David. Wonderful, wonderful psalms that he wrote. He says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God, or you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hastened after God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips, O Lord. You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. In the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David wrote that. An amazing thing. He wrote that, and he, in some of his writings, we can see prophecy. Was David so great because he was strong and mighty and powerful in appearance? 1 Samuel says no. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 42 says that when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, his disdain for him was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. He was just a ruddy, reddish kind of youth. Nothing impressive. He wasn't big and powerful and strong. Was it because he was the anointed second king of Israel? Is that what made David great? What made David great is that he showed himself to be a man after God's own heart. What made David great is that when he was to fight Goliath, he won because he trusted not in his armor, not in his own strength, but in the Lord. Saying the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. He trusted the Lord for everything. In these cases, that's what made David great. And then again, we read that David said of himself, I go the way of all the earth. In other words, David died. He put his faith in the power of God during his life, and then he died. I hope you're seeing a pattern here. All of these that we talked about were great men, but what made them great was their faith. And every one of them, even though they had great faith, they died. There's another man, another we want to look at. Remember Joshua and Caleb? Caleb. He's the one that quieted down the people who had come in and listened to these other spies that went out into the land. And he says, let's go up and take possession of the land. He didn't worry about the great number of people there and how great and powerful they were. God was on his side. He trusted in God. Let's go over and take the land. That's what made Caleb so great. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, both said, do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Numbers chapter 14, verse 30 and 38, we read that because of their faith, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that entered the promised land after the wanderings in the wilderness, after the plague of the unfaithful. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, Joshua said the same thing as David. Behold, this day I'm going all the way of all the earth. And it's obvious that both Joshua and Caleb, they had great faith and they both died. And it isn't just men in the Bible. There are great women in the Bible. What a Deborah. You think about Deborah in the Bible. In Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and you read that, she was a prophetess. And when Barak came to her, he was hesitant to obey the Lord. And she boldly reminded him of God's promise. Go before them and be a blessing, that a blessing will come because of your obedience. She told him that. What of Ruth? What is it that Ruth said? Your people shall be my people and your God my God. There's faith. What made Ruth great? Her faith. What made Deborah great? Her faith. Ruth said, spread your wings over your servant to Boaz, and you are a redeemer. She had faith that God sent her there, that he would protect her, and that he would take care of her according to the law. What of Esther? Esther is going to face the king unlawfully. The people are praying and fasting for her. She and all her servants are praying and fasting. And she says, I'll come before the king. I will go before the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She trusted God, even with her own life. And let all the others, Deborah, Ruth, Esther, all place their faith in God. That's what they did. They placed their faith in God. And since then, all have died. Again, you see the pattern. There's two things that are really important here. They placed their trust in God. And that's what they did. They all had God. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. I hope you all know the text. Because what he wrote is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. When we have faith in God, we're trusting him with all our heart. We're loving him with all our mind and heart and strength and soul. We're putting everything we are into him, and we're putting everything he is into us. And that's what makes us great. You know, Moses told the people, God told the people through Moses, that I did not choose you because you were so many and mighty. I chose you because you were few. They weren't the great ones, but they won battles. Let's think about Gideon. Gideon's valiant 300, Judges chapter 7, in verse 2, the people who were with you are too many, God says, to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim the glory for itself. against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God's had thousands of people, and God says, that's too many. We're gonna go fighting against a lot of people, but that's too many. You know, there were 22,000 of the enemy there. 22,000 of the enemy. What does God want? God wants us all to be victorious against our enemies, but we need to know and we need to understand that our victory is because of the power of God. Throughout all history, that's what He wants us to know. And when we can trust that, when we can realize that, then we can be great in the eyes of God. Remember the Apostle Paul, his words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 10? Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities and my reproaches and needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Paul trusted God to deliver him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 11, when I am persecuted, I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Peter said the same kind of things in 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 5. We are kept by the power of God for salvation. Kept by the power of God for salvation. How are we kept? Because of our faith. If we go back to Gideon, the 22,000 in verse 3, there were 22,000 Midianites and the enemies, and there's, God was going to defeat them with only 300. There were 120,000. The 22,000 were the people who left because of fear. Look at that with me. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. Now therefore proclaim it, hearing the Lord saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. 22,000 left out of the 30 because of fear. Are we going to group ourselves with them? Or are we the selected few? Read verses 4 through 7 with me. But the Lord said to Gideon, and the people all are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. And then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lap putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But that the rest of the people got down on their knees and drank water. And then the Lord said to Gideon, by 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the people go. Every man to his own place. Think about that. And as you think about that, think about this. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do we identify with the 22,000? Do we walk away in fear? Or do we identify with the selected 300? And we fight the valiant battle knowing that the victory is the Lord's. And against all odds, verse 12, now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore multitude. And yet they still won the battle. You know what happened in verse 22? Gideon had divided these 300 into three troops. They all had a sword. They all had a clay pot. And they all had a torch. And he instructed them, when the 300 blew the trumpet, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled. They beat them. 300. What made them great is that they all trusted God. And it's the same for God's children today. 2 John 9 tells us, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. When we abide in our faith, we stick to what the Word of God says, we have the Father and the Son. Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 4 tell us that we are in Christ, walking in the Spirit, then there is no... He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the Spirit, but according to the flesh. The power of God and His everlasting love we read about in Romans chapter 8 verses 31 through 39. Let's read Romans chapter 8 verse 31 through 39. We're reading, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you see that there? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and through 32, we read that it is not about who's strong, who's mighty, who's wise, who's great in the eyes of men, but it's about the power of God, the wisdom of God, the might of God. You know, the second point, of course, is they all died. We've mentioned that. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 tells us it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Solomon in his wisdom said there's a time to be born and a time to die. Job, speaking of the life of man and the woes of man, he says he comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. You know, these men and women of the Bible that we've read about, there are many. We could go on and on and on. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Read Hebrews chapter 3. It goes on and on and on as we talk about the faith of these men and women. But the fact is, they all died in faith. They all shared the boldness, their faith. They all were matchless in those kinds of arenas. And I'm grateful for their examples. And for the two things that are common to them all. And for us today, the good news is still there. They all died? Yes. Are our ranks thinning in that sense? Yes. Does that mean that the church is weak? No. Because each individual member of the body of Christ has Christ. We have God. I'd like you to open your hymnals today with me to the Song of Invitation. The invitation song is Rock of Ages. And we know that's talking about Jesus, our Lord. And I want you to think about Jesus. Was Jesus great? The answer is yes. Do you know that all through the scriptures in the New Testament, when Jesus talked about himself, he talked about how he obeyed God. And we know he was God. But in the flesh, he obeyed God. He sinned, lived a life with all the same temptations, but without sin. Jesus was great. And Jesus, our great Lord, our mighty Master, our King, died upon a cross to give us a chance to be great. Not in ourselves, not in the things we do with our hands, but in our faith that we take that word of God, that seed, and we put it in our hearts. That's what makes us great. And the question today is that Jesus, in order to make us have the ability to be great in the eyes of God, died for you while you were still in your sins. He suffered the cross. His blood was shed. So that you could be great. Will you be great this day? If you have faith and you've obeyed the gospel, then you are great in the eyes of God. Make no mistake. If you're living a life faithful, if you're keeping His commandments, if you're studying and working in the kingdom, you're great. But if you've not obeyed the gospel to this day, you're going to die without being great. You'll die without ever seeing the great God and King. Why would you take that chance? Why not allow the blood of Christ to wash you of your sins this day? Obey the gospel. Believe and be baptized. Put on Christ. And one day see the face of God. If you have a need this day, please don't wait. Come forward now as we stand and sing this song, Rock of Ages.